We record, so be behaved. Okay. So we're discussing the first Rashi. The question of why the Torah starts at Bereishis and not the later on by Chodesh Zelochem. And the first idea which we explored is an ethic outside of Torah itself. Something similar to that is something called natural law, which might be very much more on point of why it has to start from here. Look at page 1. I actually numbered it this time.
Page 1?
Bottom right. There is, however, another sense in which Jewish thought may be said to reflect natural law theory.
This is
Bleich, a different article.
Can I just ask a very basic question?
Sure. Sure.
There are a lot of different views of what natural law is. You'll have a lot of different philosophers who tell you this is natural law, no, it's the exact opposite. So how can we even start with this? Is it even worth starting with this construct?
It's a new one?
Yeah. Let me take some of the other.
Can we derive Jewish law in effect from natural law?
Well, that's correct, and maybe that's why in the end why we have a Torah to tell you what aspects of it. I want to show you something that even without it that there were certain ideas. I'll show you one tshuva in particular. That's the fastest we got a question. Various forms of natural law theory, which Jimmy was about to expand upon, have been advanced over the centuries by a host of thinkers, from Zeno to John Locke. The simplest and oldest developed theory is found in the writings of the Stoics, who observed that the entire universe is governed by laws which exhibit rationality. Okay? The entire universe is governed by laws which exhibit rationality. Inanimate objects adhere to such laws because they are inherent in nature itself. The laws of physics and chemistry exhibit rationality in establishing regularity and predictability. The conduct of animals is regulated by a rational pattern of behavior, which we can call instinct. Since the universe is a unitary whole, governed by rational principles, it follows that similar rational natural laws should exist for the ordering of human conduct. Such rules or laws are readily discoverable by application of the rational faculty with which man has been endowed. Thomas Aquinas, in part, as an aid in discovering the rational principles which govern the universe and hence which should be adopted by man in ordering his conduct, invoked the Aristotelian concept of nature as teleological system. The essence of every created entity stipulates an end. Reason, and hence the natural law, requires the fulfillment of those ends and militates against any form of behavior which will serve to thwart such fulfillment. Common to all formulations of natural law theory is the notion that man should seek to identify the rational principles inherent in the natural order and seek to guide himself by the light of reason. So let's understand, just a simplistic understanding, what natural law is. Mishlei says, "B'chachma yastei ha'aretz." With chachma, with wisdom, with rationale, the world was set as a foundation. Everything is reflective of the infinite, which is reasonable, which is rational, which is correct in thought. That is placed into the world. The world is, I want to show you some ideas that I think will give some pshatim to also ideas from Midrashim that you've known your whole life. What he is saying, what natural law is that since God is a rational being, his creation was a rational entity. It reflects correctness. It reflects a rational way of acting. He just mentions over here, and Jimmy, what he's jumping on over here is saying is, well, I'll buy into that. It's a rational understanding of the world. And he mentions here, well, as Aristotle would say, if a man knows the summum bonum, if the man knows the absolute good, he's going to naturally follow it. He wants to follow the good law because he wants to have a better life. The question which everyone is going to discuss is, well, I don't know what's right and what's wrong, and how do I know, for instance, Gemara Erevin, which says that you have to look at the cat for one idea and the dog for another idea, how do I know I'm going to take the correct idea from these animals? I will say, just as a side note, as an advertisement to Yeshiva University of Torah Mada, I have never seen more of a correct notion of what Torah Mada really is. If indeed God, if the world is a reflection of the infinite being, so study of science, the study of geometry, the study of physics, you're getting a reflection of God's thoughts, right? Because since natural law, meaning that the world has to be governed according with nature and according to with rationale. So let me give you one example. First of all,
who is this?
This was Rabbi Black. He's just quoting something. Look at page 7. It's an amazing concept from the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was the Sukkotcheva Rebbe. It's a continual understanding why the Torah has to...
No different, okay.
Wow. Harsh.
No, I didn't know. We're worse
than the Chafetz Chaim and the rabbi. We're taking it so slow. It's the first question of Rashi.
No.
Tef Zayin. Venera. Tinei niskasha mishnah lemelech v'perek yud. Mehilchos Melachim. B'shvua shekodem matan Torah. A shvuah which you took prior to Matan Torah, Abraham, Yitzhak, Lavi Melech, Esav, the Yaakov, Eliezer, the Avram, hello, shvuah ain't a mezayin mitzvah shenistavina b'nei Noach. Following, you know, adhering to a shvuah is not one of the mitzvahs, but the shvuah is b'nei Noach. Right? V'li kosha od. So, by the way, Jimmy, this is one point over here. When you regulate yourself to understand what's written in the Torah or what's said mamash in Chazal is the halacha, and if something is not said in Chazal, and I'll give you an example. I once spoke upstairs about something about the environment, and someone from the yeshiva world came over to me and says, I've never heard any discussion about this in the yeshiva, about worrying about the environment. And therefore what? And therefore it's Torah doesn't have an opinion on it. Right? It's not true. Of course it does. Here, so the Avnei Nezer is asking you per se, okay, so you held, there's a Torah, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, it discusses it, and if it doesn't discuss it, therefore what? What do you do with that question? And here he's asking with the Shvuah, where does it say that a guy has to listen to a Shvuah in the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noah? Now, by the way, Rabbi Lamb, and I forget who he co-authored an article in the Cardozo Law Review, he argues that there is a concept of natural law, and that's called Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Others disagree with him, especially because the Rambam says they don't receive any schar, and it seems that the only way they receive schar, if they accept the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, because...
I'm sorry, to do it. Are you guys going to shut up the...
You can shut
it. I can shut it off.
Yeah. If it's the natural law is if you don't accept the Shiva's Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, because from the Bezdin and from because God is commanding you to do it, then it's as if you're not following you. So he has problems with it, but I hear what Rabbi Lamb is saying. He says there is a concept of natural law. V'li kasha od, al shavuos har Sinai shu yisod kabbalas haTorah. If you weren't makabel the Torah, you weren't commanded to follow Shmua, the swearing. The whole mitzvah, the reason why I have to listen to it, because the Yisra don't allow, lo yachel devaro, don't desecrate your wording. Umay Yosef Azhara Zum Nishara Azhara Shabbatorah. Umay Yosef Koach HaShavua Bahazhara Shabbatorah. Kivan Shashavua Gamkein Eina Rak Azhara. It's only a warning. So why should they have to listen to their Shavua? Right? Asher Alkein Nira Beruim Shal Dvarim. Devadai Misha Nishbala Acha. Someone who makes a Shavua to someone else. Zeh Hasvara. It's a svara. It's an obvious rationale. Of course you have to listen to it. Machrosh mechuyot lekayin. Ve'ein sarach lezeh shun mazhara. V'hainu shvuas Avram Yitzhak Eliezer v'hu adin hanishpa l'kadosh baruch hu. What is that? It's a svara out there. Achmisha nishma la'atzma shelo yasa davar al yasa b'zeh ein svara. Of course, if you just do it to yourself, you don't have to follow anything. Im toma l'kadosh baruch hu minayin she'l'kadosh baruch hu chavz b'chiyuvo l'izah l'zeh huchrucha hatar l'tzavos lo yechad d'var. Yeah, there are certain such situations we have nothing to do with another person in this world, so vis-a-vis yourself, I make a shvu on myself in the shame of Hashem that I'm going to go on a diet. And no one, I'm not hurting, it's just me. It's my myself. Yeah, then you need the Torah to tell you, you have to listen to your own Shavua, you have to get matzah to your own Shavua. But if it's no one else is involved in my Shavua, where do you get the notion that you would have to follow the Torah? Be peace for it. And I'll show you something else. Look at the next page, page 9.
What's matzah Torah between you and between yourself?
No, Matan Torah, but after Matan Torah, now, as far as those who accepted the Torah, now you have...
I mean, the Shavua pre-Matan Torah, the Abraham Shavua.
Right, he says even with that, of course they had to listen to it.
That was...
No, he says that's Shavua.
Well,
which one was... Abraham to Esau, Abraham to Eliezer, there you had two parties over there, that's what he's asking.
Okay.
Shvichas Daman, 10. No, on page 9, I'm sorry. Says Gufe. What was the question? What does it say if I tell you, if you don't kill him, I'm going to kill you? Right? You're not allowed to kill him. Why not? What does it say that in the Torah? And the Gemara says it doesn't say that in the Torah. What's the idea behind it? Gufe. Minolon. Where do you get this idea? Svarahu. It's a svara.
Logic.
Dahuda also lekame the rabba va'amali amali midi. Murray. Durize kotla, kill this guy laplane. If you're low cutting luck, or I'll kill you. Amali the cook. You allow yourself to be killed. Velo tikato. Mi yemet the dama di dach sumach tve. Dama the dama da hu gavra simitve. How do you know your blood is redder than the other? There's no pasuk. It's a svara. It's an idea behind it. Gemara says, where do you know? Okay, this one may not be as great as a svara. Where do you know?
It is based on a pasuk, though.
This is not based on a pasuk.
No, it's purely logic. Yeah.
Purely logic.
Purely logic.
Where do you know that the person who comes into court, the plaintiff, he has to set his case first? Where do you know that? Mara says svara. It's a svara. Who else is going to start first? All right, that's just more of a procedural in court. Right? So there is this concept. And I'll show you something more with the natural law. First of all, let me just show you in the Pesukim. The Mishlei. Mishleis in Periches and Chav Gimel says, "Me olam nisachti me rosh mikad me oretz." What does that mean? Me olam. That was from the initially. Me olam nisachti me rosh. From the beginning, even mikad me oretz, even before I created the world, there was chachma. What does it mean? This medrash. Look at page 10. Bereishis bara lakim, shisha tevarim kadmu lebriyas ha'olam. Six things were created prior to the world. Yeshman shenivru v'yeshmem sha'olam b'machshavah, those that actually were built, and those were thought. Liberos ha'torah, v'kisei ha'kava, liberos ha'torah, kisei kava, nivru torah menayin. Torah was created, we know, how many years before? The Medrash says 2,000 years before. What's pshat in that Medrash? In other words, what does it mean God created to, first of all, whenever we say, you know, if you say God, was the whole Torah written down 2,000 years before exactly what we have? So somebody would explain, no, the psukim, the letters were out there, the concept was there, and as man progressed. It's hard to understand, but even if they say, okay, so it's less, so then you get into the more...
Not less, yes.
Yes. Then you have the question, like, what does that mean? All right, now this was written before, and now this is, so everything is predestined, per se. Right. Problematic. It had to be a certain way, but okay. But what does that mean anyway? What's a pshat in that? I mean, the Torah was written 2,000 years before Briyas Ha'olam. Why should there have been a creation of 2,000 years before Briyas Ha'olam? The idea was that what? The Chachma Yasta Ha'aretz.
Mazel Tov.
He has no filter.
Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
He has no filter. Right? In other words, the world... There was an idea, there was a rationality, the world is being, the Torah is like a blueprint, meaning it's a reflection of God's wisdom that's going to be in this world, how the world should conduct himself. Let me show you an etziv, and then we'll start with really what's bothering Jimmy. I know what's bothering him, saying that how do you know what's right and what's wrong? And what's the...
isn't it all the rabbis?
What do you mean?
As the rabbis guide you through everything,
But why do they have to do that? Why is it? You're asking really the question is, I know what's right, and you might be right, but how do I know between A and B which is the more correct? So that's what Saji Gaon, in a sense, was arguing, to say that the world, I could know what the correctness of the world. There is an idea behind it called natural law. But how do I know which way to go with it? There's still going to be questions within natural law. Therefore, you need a Torah. Therefore, the Torah is going to explain to you which choices to make. But it's more than that.
Along the lines of what you're saying, you know, the Torah says that I gave it to you for earth, to live by here. It's not in heaven. So in effect, and Hashem is telling the rabbis, you know, you have to, like, make this a living, breathing document based upon clearly trying to derive the principles from it and from oral law and from the way halacha has developed.
Right.
But to some extent, it is up to the rabbis to try to determine.
Absolutely. And that's going to be how Rabbi Lamb will approach the issues of dealing with today's notion of amalek. That's exactly how he's going to use it, of why... laws like amalek are no longer applicable today for us.
But how can you come to a conclusion that a law is... I can understand that you can come to a conclusion of how do we apply this law.
Yibum.
But how can you say that a law
Yibum.
Basically doesn't exist anymore?
Yibum. It's not that it doesn't exist. It doesn't apply today. Yibum. How come you can not allow to do Yibum today?
You're not allowed or not practiced?
Ashkenazi, we're not allowed.
Well, I would argue purely on events... that it's becoming clearer and clearer who Amalek is.
Forget about Amalek.
Why couldn't we...
Take something you're not emotionally involved, because otherwise you have a Balabatish mark.
Take Yibum.
Forget it. When you get emotionally involved in something,
you can't look at it... You can't parse out. You can't say in some way...
I'm asking you, so Yibum. Yibum l'chol hadeos. Okay, I understand which parties in Israel you're voting for. I just want to know if you had Yibum. So now I'm just asking.
Menachem, yeah. You do Chalitza now, so it shows you that the idea.
Oh, the idea is still there.
Right, exactly.
But we're not following it today. That's what I'm asking you. What is that? Let's wait till we get to Rabbi Lamb. Let me show you the Tziv, page 4.
Four.
One, two, three, five.
It's usually what Joel says if the E hits the wall. Bereshis Bara Elokim. Why the Lashon of Elokim? Elokim mashma'o dayan. The word Elokim means judge. Emnam kamo chukos hatara nikra'am din. The laws of the Torah are known as din. Kamo chay nikra'am din gam chukos hateva. Should be a Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Nitziv is Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, right? He was a co-Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Volozhin with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he writes, Din is also means Gam Chukos HaTeva Should be a Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Laws of nature that God created, Es Olomo, Kimavur B'Shabbos. Yodei Et Tzadik Din Dalim. Yodeya Kadosh Baruch Hu Bekelav Shemazonos of Mu'atim. He knows a dog. Now, what does it mean, Yodeya here? He implanted it in each animal what their desires are. And a dog doesn't want to eat, you know, like we do in Shabbos. Ve'ein adama b'toras onesh. It's not a penalty. It's not a punishment. Ela hateva kachu b'hu nikrodin. This is the way a person acts. And that's called nature, it's called din. It's the way of the world. V'chein perusha habracha asher yotza eschem badin, v'chein nisa eschem badin, hakol b'teva habriya. I'm going to show you the next one, the next nitziv, when he talks about the punishment given to man. Hakol b'teva habriya. Right? This is the way the world runs itself. Kedavar Hashem, kedaber Hashem la'adam, Ki offer atavi el offer toshuv, right? You were born from ash and going to offer. V'yivora o lahalon, v'yonis bar b'sefer b'midbar api mamar chazal, the dinei Torah hu hateva. What does that mean? The dinei Torah, this is the natural way of life. In other words, it's a reflection of natural law. It's a reflection of how God created the world that's best suited for man. Right, so when you get to the question, why should I follow? That's going to be the follow-up with Rabbi Blech. Why follow natural law? He says, okay, even if this is correct, what is the moral imperative to follow it? So one answer, I'll show you how the Nitziv is going to show it. This is more of a spiritual notion before we get to the Rav and others. Shebehem nechak v'kayim teva olam. Umishim hachi nikru shenehem din. Zeu kavanis bereish mamram bereishus rabba metchila bara kadosh baruch olamo b'din v'rosh en miskayim. So now, where does rachamim come in? Yes, the pure aspect of nature, God created, and then he said, but it won't exist purely on nature if a din shitef hakadosh baruch rachamim b'din. So then he was meshatef. He made a comparison. He brought in rachamim. Ain't a perusha hoisa bezeh chazar mimasha chasha tchila chas v'shalom. Ela hachi perusha the habriya hoisa bedin gamur. That really the bria was this was nature created natural understanding. Aval hanhaga v'kiyam ha'olam he efshir bedin api chukos haTorah shehein la anosh is called devar pesha. Every time you do something wrong, you should be punished. Im lo b'shitof rachman b'din v'zeh yodah kadosh baruch hu lefnei habriya sh'achaken yeh habrach l'shetof rachamim. You know right away, has to be with rachamim. V'hinei shem elokim af agav sh'mashmo'o ha'poshet manik ha'lom b'din reshes bar l'kim. The name of Hashem comes in the second parak. Mikol mokom kam perusha bori olomo b'din v'hochi perusha sifri b'tvilas moshe Hashem elokim B'din barasas ha'olam, b'sham peirashnim be'ezra yisparach l'may perush chazal, okay, etc. So, what the Nitziv is saying is, the Lashon of Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Lashon of Elokim, God created nature. B'chachma yosla ha'aretz. Right? With chachma, with wisdom. In other words, the laws of nature he created. And those laws of nature are built within it, a rationale, a reason, how the world has to govern. By studying those ideas, you will be able to govern yourself correctly what to do. So before, let's just go back down to the beginning, see how he, the question, how he develops. So the page two, it is a demand that human conduct be modeled upon the rationality of the natural order, which poses a formidable problem. Law, as the term is used by jurists and legal scholars, is a rule which is authoritative and binding, and which, when violated, may result in a position of sanctions against the violator, right? The person, you have a law, you steal, you get punished. Law, as terms is used in the scientist, is merely a manifestation of regularity and rationality in nature. The former is prescriptive, the latter is descriptive. Reducing laws prescribed by the intellect to the rational principles manifest in the universe fails to answer the one crucial meta-ethical question which must be asked of any moral system. Why be moral? Granted that the universe exhibits rationality and that the human conduct is part of a unitary rational mosaic or of cosmic proportions, the question remains, why must man endeavor to manifest such patterns of rationality in his moral behavior? Or, as the question is put in its classic formulation, how can prescriptive laws be derived from descriptive laws? Aristotle answered the question is that man would, and being man is a rational being, he would never go against what he perceives to be the good path. The reason why he does it is because he doesn't believe this is the good path. You go against a derabbanan, or if you go against a deraisa, what is your thinking behind it? What is your thinking behind it? It's not crazy what Aristotle's saying, even in our system.
It's time. You think it's wrong.
You think what's wrong?
I'm saying if you go against something that's the right.
Okay. Side,
you just
or
decide,
when you say taiva, what do you mean by taiva? I guess I have a taiva.
You get a pleasure out of it.
But if you know that you're going to get punished by it,
you don't care. If the pleasure from it is greater.
You don't believe you're going to get punished by it. You know, that's what Aristotle would say to you. You don't truly believe when you're over the Rabbanan, especially the Rabbanans. There are different thinkings. You're either going to say, it's only the Rabbanan, right? It's only the Rabbanan. Or God will understand. We're all buddies with God. God understands me. He knows that this taiva, he's going to forgive me. And therefore, you act a certain way. Why? Aristotle would say is, because you don't really believe this is the correct way. Right. If you did, you would. If a person knew he's going to take a puff from the cigarette and he's going to have cancer and have and die a deathly death, he wouldn't do it. He just doesn't believe it. You leave the hospital and you see everyone smoking. What are you doing, right? They don't believe you. My father used to say it. My father said, I thought we'd catch it in time. That's what he really thinks.
This assumes that.
All right, but that's Aristotle.
The world operates this way.
Jimmy, I understand. But Aristotle, I understand. I'm just giving you theory of. I know you got to take that balabatish mind and throw it out. You got to think. I understand that people don't think this way. In fact, that's what Sajagon writes. Sajagon writes in his Hakdam and say, why is it if the Torah? Why do we have to have the Torah? He says, first of all, man is lazy. Basically, what he's saying, man is lazy. He's not going to think things through. He's not going to come to the final answer to it. He may not have all the facts in front of him. Therefore, God had to say, Tatala, don't steal. Don't kill anyone.
Is this the basis of Christian thought that man is not good? That man...
Oh, Rob, because they want to say that man really is evil, robbing a rub.
Right, as opposed to this one where... This
you got the checkbook.
No, very good, very good. You're right. I'm stuck in Kree right here.
Isn't nature, natural law, by definition, something that cannot be created?
What does that mean?
It's natural. It exists.
Right.
How do we make the jump to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu created natural law? It's sort of contradictory.
Well, it's not that he created, but since wisdom is ultimate sources from God, right? So it naturally flowed that the creation of God
would be wise. So it's an extension of God. It's not a creation of God. It's something that exists. It's just there.
Oh, very good. Before you even go on, I'm going to read to you. Let's go with the Rav said. That's very good. Welcome back, Yoyli. No, he's one of the guys I like. Okay, 12. You see, Rabbi Bleich's ultimate understanding is, but why are you following it? The rational one. The answer is, for Jews, we're saying because it's a divine command. Ultimately, the reason why you follow is because God says you have to follow it. Right? So that's going to be why. The Rav says it just similar, but a little different. He said when God created. He says, how did God create the world? In the beginning, God created the basic idea expressed in these words of Bereshis Bara Elokim is that creation took place, Yesh Me'ayin. Something was created from nothing. Right? Creatio ex nihilo. This concept is a tenet of faith in Judaism. However, the Torah is not a guide to metaphysics. Its focus is on the moral imperatives. Each article of faith must therefore be converted into a moral norm. King David emphasized in the Psalms that God is L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Milo'ah, the land and all of that dwell in there, because he established it on the seas and firmed it on the rivers. David suggests that by virtue of having created the world, God is the owner in full legal sense. So, notice your question is, what does that mean? Yeah, God created the world. God created the world. What do we learn from this idea of God created the world? One can clarify this idea through halakhic principle. There is a disagreement in the Gemara regarding the ownership rights of a craftsman who was given raw materials by a second party and then fashioned into something more valuable. Whether or not we maintain that an umen komen b'shvach kelim, right? The person who, you take a raw matter and then you fashion it. Who's the true owner now of the property? Is it the person who gave you the raw material who owned it? Or is it you, the craftsman? Whether or not we maintain uman kona b'shvach kli, does the craftsman have ownership rights over the value that his craftsmanship added to the raw material? If so, the owner of the raw material must compensate the craftsman if he wishes to own the finished object. Alternatively, perhaps the craftsman has no rights to the finished object, uman eina kona, and he's only entitled to payment for his work. Rambam, many Rishonim maintain the craftsman has no ownership rights, while the Rush and others argue that he does. Right? So God, would he have ownership rights? According to Pshatnos of Halacha, is reflected of God's thinking. Would he have ownership rights? So the Rav now says, well, now I'll explain something. What does Yesh Me'ayin mean? But although there is a difference of opinion regarding the human craftsman, there is no controversy when discussing the creator of the world. The master of the universe unquestionably owns the world by virtue of his having created, precisely because the world has created ex nihilo. He both created the raw material and also formed it into the world as we know it. There can thus be no contender for ownership rights.
So can you basically say that this is agreeing with science, where science believes in the Big Bang Theory, and you were saying that Hashem created the Big Bang?
It's possible. It's possible. As we get a little bit further and we go through the Ramban, it's possible. All we have to believe is God is the one who started the process. In fact, it would lend itself more to say that if it was God created nature, he just almost like created a mathematical theory and allowed it from there for everything to progress.
Push the first domino down.
Right. It may very well have occurred that way. Yeah.
Can't you argue that man is not inherently good or evil? Man is just man and has the choice of doing good or evil? Is an angel good? An angel is static. An angel just performs what God wants him to do. An angel's not good because it doesn't choose to do the what Hashem commands it to do. Mm-hmm. Man is not, I think, man is not inherently good or evil. Man is man, the animal instincts and both a soul. And Hashem commands us to live a certain way, and if we live the way Hashem commands us to live, we're doing good, and if we don't, we're doing evil. But we're not inherently good or evil.
Well, that's what we're going to see through Hasidic and Rabbinic thought, of how they look at that. You have a lot of rayas both ways, but we're jumping too many. How the Rav takes from here is now, why do I have to follow God? What does it mean again, din and rachamim? The moral message of the of creation of Yesh Me'ayin is that all of a person's organs, talents, capabilities actually belong to God and are only alone on him, from him. With every sin he commits, he misuses that which was lent to him, and thus, in a sense, forgoes his very right to exist. Living life of sin is thereby an act of theft and extortion. You bring a karban because you're really chayiv misa. Instead of yourself being killed, you give an animal's life. Right? I'm really chayiv. Take him instead. We use the expression of yesh me'ayin for lack of a better term. But in fact, before the creation, there was no ayin. There was Yesh, there was existence, there was God himself. The popular Adon Olam prayer declares, Adon Olam Hashem Alef Eterem Kol Yitzir Nivra, the massive universe who ruled before anything was created, before the world was created, therefore was infinite. And that was in the Rav's perspective, per se, so you'll say, why do you have to follow natural law? Why? Because it's a reflection, God who owns you, and is saying, I want you to live in this accordance to the way I've created the world. In accordance with the, as I've explained to you, per se, in the Torah. I'll show you exactly how Rabbi Black says that. Okay? In other words, therefore, what's the moral imperative? God is the goal is, God is the balabas. He has created you, he owns you, and therefore you have to follow him. So before I go to back to the Netziv, let's just continue with the English part. So it's page 2. So his understanding of it, again, also going to be problematic. This, in turn, is but a variant of the most crucial of all meta-ethical problems, the bifurcation of is and ought. Granted that we have successfully accomplished the task of defining and identifying the good and the moral, the question remains, why be moral? The religionist who posits a theistic system of morality has a relatively simple solution to this question, divine authority. One must be moral because such is the will and command of a God. Any natural law theory is subject to challenge on the following grounds. Granted that the universe exhibits unitary reason, granted that such rationality was instilled in the universe by the Creator, and granted that man governs himself by the same rationality only if he obeys the injunction, follow nature. There is yet no moral imperative which demands of man that he identify with the rationality of the universe and regulate his conduct accordingly. Right? Okay, I agree with you, there's a natural law. Why do I have to follow? Why can't I go against it? The question may be resolved only by an appeal to an antecedent metaphysical principle. Man ought to obey the will of the deity insofar as he is capable of discerning his will. Since it was created by God, and since it exhibits an ambiguous rationality, the universe testifies to God's desire that all creation guides itself by the principles of reason. Therefore, in regulating his personal conduct, man is bound to pursue the dictates of natural laws discerned by reason. Recasting this explanation in the Jewish version of the doctrine of Emesio Dei is as if God were to address his creatures and say to them, even as I am rational, as evidenced by the rationality of the universe which I have created, be you also rational. Only by invoking a notion such as this can prescriptive law be made to flow from his descriptive counterpart. It should be remembered that the admonition upon the principle of Emes Yehudei is based and regarded as a formal commandment, including the enumeration of the 613 mitzvahs, v'halachta b'drachav. Right? So, I have to, the Bereshis Bara Elohim teaches me God created the world on basis of rationality. And just like you believe that, why do we have a Torah Shebaal Peh? Why wasn't only a Torah Shebichsav? Because the Torah Shebichsav itself would be impossible to include every possibility throughout the generations. There had to be a Torah Shebaal Peh. You couldn't discuss the possibility of use or non-use of electricity in on Shabbos in the Torah.
Yeah,
couldn't.
It's taking the concepts that were developed before there was electricity and we apply that.
Right.
So it's not as though...
And how? Through Torah Shebaal Peh, through the principles.
Right.
Through Torah law, through Torah ideas.
Right.
Right. God gave us the blueprint of how to use this in every single generation.
But what I'm saying is there's no... Yes, the halakha develops over the centuries. It's developed.
Right.
But certain principles develop, and then you apply those principles.
Right.
So it's not to say that, you know, there's something in the 20th century that Torah didn't anticipate.
Right.
It's not. Torah did anticipate it. You're taking the principles that were developed in the Torah through the centuries and applying them to the new situation. But it's still the principles that we believe ultimately trace back to the Torah. So it's not as though we're saying, okay... You know, the Torah didn't anticipate everything.
I'm not 100% sure that you're correct, because many of the Zionists, poskim had great trouble poskening post Medina, saying that the Torah did not anticipate a Jewish Medina not based in halacha.
How could you say God doesn't know what's going to happen? I mean, how can you possibly claim that?
I'm simply quoting great poskim. It's not Menachem.
Like Rav Gord?
They all had trouble with it. Rav Herzog basically, he said it's not everything was anticipated. So
Whoa.
They had to create.
God, how could you possibly say God can't anticipate every single thing?
It's not that God didn't anticipate. Man's understanding of the Torah cannot have been anticipated. Rav Herzog said, listen, Rav Herzog's answer about why we can't rent to, why we must be able to rent to Arabs, had nothing based on halacha. It wasn't a halachic tshuva. In fact, you go through all the Rishonim's tshuvas about why we had to accept people who converted to Christianity and they came back to Judaism, they were all halachically incorrect. They were halachically incorrect. Read Chaim Soloveitchik's article about it. And why did they do it? They had to push aside halacha because of some idea. It's just like, you know, it could very... And just this notion of a Emes Yehudei with Tzedakah. Yeah, knows v'halachta b'drachav, you're emulating God. But it's not a Torah... It's not within the Dalit conference of Torah. You give Tzedakah to UNICEF, or whatever you want to call any non-Jewish entity, you're not Mekayim the mitzvah of Tzedakah.
So?
What are you Mekayim? Something of a higher nature, of a halachta b'drachav. That's all.
Maybe.
Just as God takes care of the world, you take care of the world.
When Avraham was having guests come into his tent, right?
Yeah.
So you can't argue that Hashem was teaching us that we're supposed to reach out to the rest of the world, supposed to do hospitality, the rest of the world, supposed to care about the rest of the world, and you can't derive from that.
That's very good. So now you're going back to our first answer. Why is it that the Torah had to start from Bereshis Bara Elokim and all the stories? Because if I only started as a Sefer HaMitzvahs, I would not have anticipated that idea. Only a Jew was within my system, and those who are not within my system should not be taken care of. And your answer is no. That's exactly why we started from the beginning, to teach you that there is the 613 mitzvahs, and there is an ethic outside of the 613 mitzvahs. You're exactly my point.
Well, how do you know it's outside the 613 mitzvahs?
Because all of the poskim and rishonim and say, when you give money to a non-Jew, you're not Mekayim, you're 10%.
Medrash tries to include it in the 613 by saying the Avos did follow the 613.
Right. Okay, and so that argument would be that what? When they were following the Tariq mitzvahs, so Avram should have known better, right? So what was he doing? Doing B'halachta B'drachav. I want to show you something in the Netziv, though. This is a beautiful Netziv. Beautiful, really. It's page 6, I think. Page 6 or 5? Page 5. The Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hachayim Etoch Hagan. Right? Or right, let's just do the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Let's do that one. What was the Eitz Hadas Tovara? It's unbelievable. Eina Perish. The Pshat is not. Lasos rachalilo. Doesn't mean that the Eitz Hadas, when you do it, you're going to do evil. And this goes back to the initial thing about how man was created. Imkei malazeh ha'ilam b'gan Eden. So why is this tree in Gan Eden? El ha'ochlo yodeya b'seichela anoshi. The one who eats it, knows it with a rational thought. Ma tov lo umaro lo. What's good for him and what's bad for him. And then he can become a righteous man. However, he's going to be lowered down from what he was initially created. Dovuk bekono yispara kechelik hadovuk makusha beikar. Adam was davuk, was attached to his creator. As if everything, his ikar, his essence, was tied to God. V'lo hirkish b'tovara la'atzmo. The key word being la'atzmo. And he didn't realize what was good or bad as far as he was concerned. Think of Martin Buber's I-it and I-thou relationship. That's what he's referring to. Buber's I-thou, I-it relationship. I-it is I'm more concerned about my being. I-thou is I lose myself in the other. I'm only concerned about the other individual. Zehu obey ma'ava. Person who worships God from love. Masha en ken ha'ocha ma'etz hadas. Nasa, what happens? Oved me'yiras hara la'atzmo. V'gam zed tzadik. There's a difference in how he gets rewarded. Someone who does this and he acts in a certain way, he does all the mitzvahs, but he doesn't do it because he really enjoys doing it. He doesn't even realize he's getting a schar. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayom hazeh. That's why it's more beautiful in the next world. Mishem hachi amru b'sof perik aleph to kedushin schar mitzvah b'hai amulek. In this world we don't get reward for our mitzvahs. Va'afilam anta amet te'ika mikol mokom ika scharohu ba'olam haba. Masha en kena oved mi'ahava v'nene b'masha misnabek b'yotzo harei hachayim v'hatanig halashem yoka mi'olam haba. Uchadistan, as if it stated, Shem, Yafa Sha'achas B'Torah Masim Tovim B'Olamazeh. Yosem Mikol Chayim Olam Haba. Okay. V'nei Yesh Lamin. So if that's true, let me understand. What is the tachlis of the Yetziras Eitz Hachayim? Harei L'misha Ovin Me'yira Lo Yisakein L'fon of Achilas K'dei L'chiyos L'olam. Someone who is Ovin Me'yira, he's not going to harm himself in front of by eating it, in order to live li olam li oven mi ava ain't sarachlo, and to be worshiping God mi ava, he doesn't need it. You know, came the mean notes as the hate. So who was it created for? Ava be emes afagav she adam oved mi ava v'tov lo l'chayos l'olam. It's good for him to live forever. Mikol makom mitzad hatzeva shel adam. from the natural state of man, shenivra me'afra ro'i sheyoshel ba'afra. That's the way God created the world. It's ro'i that you should be living in this world and die. Uchamama Hashem ki afarata ve'el afaratoshuv. V'yavua lefanena, we understand now, shelo amar Hashem b'taras onesh, elu b'taras hodah ki chein hu. Man dies, that's a man suffers. That's the way the world, the natural world is created. She said, how could God have done this? How can a person die of a disease? That's what the world was created. That's what it means. World was created in the state of nature. Nature means a finite being has a beginning and has an end. And as long as you live in the world of nature, that's life. Let's just live. One second. Ella sha'achilas eitz ha'chayim hoysa alim l'trufa l'chayim ofro li'olim b'skula. But the Eitz Chaim was teaching you to do a greater. Nimsa hayamoel Eitz Chaim, lemisha over me'ava. What was it for? A person who worships God, me'ava. V'lo tikshem Eliyahu v'chanof shegam b'li Eitz Chaim kayam l'amim. Don't ask from Eliyahu and Chanof, they were able to live forever. V'lo od ela de'isa b'reishas rabba l'apasak, hein ha'adam hayukeecha mimenu. Rabbi Brachi b'shem Rabbi Chanina omer ke Eliyahu, mazel otam. What does it mean? He didn't taste tam misa, afzelo hayaroy l'taom tam misa. So what is it? The gvar bir beramban sheishnei ofenei oved mi'ava. There are two types of worshiping God. Mi'ava. Aleph shu oved mi'ava b'shor she osik b'torah uve mitzvah suchadomer. Avo mekom eno oved es asma b'shehu adam. But he is worshiping, doing all the Torahs and the mitzvahs. But necessary, he is not oveid es as, he doesn't lose himself. He still knows of himself. Habei she'oveid todir kimerkava l'shchina kiviyochol. Or, it is nothing to do with himself. He's worshiping God, purely for worshiping God. Nothing to do with anything that he can receive from this. V'hu shocheich es atzmo she'ol. He forgets the fact that he's human. Vine Misha Haim Baofan Harishon Adayim Bateva Hayitsira Omdim, Vahema Bakla Mamaram Zal Sofa Adam Lamus Mavas. Avo Misha Huba Ofan Hasheni, Huba Emes Lamala Miteva Adam, Humishtana Chomer Hagufla Kamri. Someone who lives in that other world is beyond nature. That person lives only for purposes of God, Achil of a self. Until the end, midazarcha hachomer umeschafik lam, your being changes to being an angel. Ubasher adam ha yitzir kapav ha yiroi lehiyos biosam mala shochanof liyoh. In initially, we were all supposed to be like that. V'laod ela shenoach ha yilafanenu lohagi lezeh hamala yosam mechanof, and we could have been higher than chanof liyoh. Bashehema ha yunizonim mipriya olam shetbiya hakadosh baruch hu. They would have been eating the food that God would have created in this world. Shinitochim l'kama moros hamalos resichos li'ava olam. Still there. Umishem hachi misha rotze l'sgaber al ateva v'liyos markevas ha'shchina al korcho tzorok l'hasiach das l'gamrei minyoni ha'yishuv. If you really want to live that type of life, You have to go beyond the world of thinking for yourself. Uchamamer ben Azai beperek habol yivamto haolam yochel eskayim ayidei acherim avalozu hitachlis habriyah shenivra l'shevas kiyatua. However, masha enkin adam shayinizum epri hagan shehema yinevloam ba'ifarim. That's what the idea was of the Gan. Hagan shehem hayu nevlam ba'ivarm kemoshkos ha-Ramban, hayu efshel liyashiv ha-olam gam ba'odah misham shifonu yisbarach. Anyhow, what is he saying with the Eitz HaChayim? The idea was that why we weren't supposed to, we were supposed to live on a certain level of losing ourselves of our parah. I'll give an example how Yonis and I just explains the question of Rav Hanani ben Trajan. From Chananya ben Trajan, when he was studying Torah, so he asked his Rebbe, he said, what are you doing? You're teaching Torah public. You're going to be Chayiv Misa. They're going to kill you. He says, so Gemara says, Mali l'chayim olam haba. It says, am I considered ma'abed as atzmo? That's how most people understand it. Rav Yonos and Eibshit says, the question was, what do I care? What are you talking about? I'm going to be chayiv? And you're telling me now that I'm going to lose olam haba? I don't even care if I lose olam haba. I have no personal existence here. My whole life is in service of God. I don't think of about myself. And if you're telling me the end, I wouldn't have a future of olam haba, so be it. So be it. That's how Rabbi Yonatan and Eibshitz understood this question. The Nitziv is explaining here, it's just, so if you're asking me, so why should I follow the natural law per se? So the answer is the natural law is just simply the way the world was created. And yeah, if you want to find the summum bonum, you want to find, so Aristotle would say, yes, to follow the natural law, follow, this will give you the better life. But why was Torah given to us? Not simply, I would say, the way Sadia Gaon was explaining, because you wouldn't be able to fathom what's the correct way of following natural law, whether this way or this derech, so God had to hand it to you. I think the Nitziv would explain, we had to have, through the Torah was written, to create a life for ourselves, a possibility even greater than the natural law, even greater than just simply finding a way for man to have a better existence. Well, Rabbi Lam was saying that the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, when you say it follows natural law, all that we say of the Shiva mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the purpose is it to create a civilized society. That's it. It creates a normal civilized society. This is how society should be run. We should have a society in which people don't kill each other. We have a society where people don't steal from each other. A society in which we respect each other. But it's not going to create a great society. The great society is only through Torah. And Torah has two aspects to it. There's the Bereishis Bara Elokim. There's a society that's based purely on din, which is the minimum de minimis. And then it's a society where you leave your own world and worship Hashem on a higher level, where you lose the ego. You lose the I-it, and you live to learn in an existence of an I-thou relationship, in the words of Martin Buber, which is a much higher level. That's why. And where do you get all of these ideas? I think you find from, starting from the Torah from the beginning, until we have Matan Torah. These are the requirements. Beryl asked last week, where do you see that there was concept of the others living an ethical life? The manner of the story that they taught us, for instance, later on we're going to see why should you leave Peah? Why should you leave all these things? Remember, because you were Gerim. You once were slaves. That's why you're doing it? Why is the Torah telling us that? Ki Ger HaYisa. Right? Why does the Torah keep on telling us? That's just because, just remember, because you had a bad time, you should remember someone else. It was giving you a rationality to make it easier for you to relate and to follow it. Dibra Torah b'lashon b'nei adam. That's what it means. So God tells us these stories, you know, if you really want, how is best to know something, what to do and what not to do? So you tell a story to show what would happen if you didn't do it this way. You want to understand sibling rivalry? You want to understand how bad it is? Let me tell you a story about Yosef and his brothers. It came across with much more punch than if I would have told the story about, you know, v'ahavta rechah kamocha. All right, good. So now, if you really want to understand what the problem of sin and chinam is, let me tell you the whole story of the second bias. Let me tell you how much we fought with each other and the fighting, blah, 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 and how it led to fight. That's, I think, was the ethical code that which Torah was trying to teach us from the very beginning. Rabbi Kalimer once said, I remember I think it's one of the Cohen weddings, or Cohen's simchas of which her parents were here. You know, they're not Jewish. And he said, why does the Torah have to start from Bereishis Bara Elokim, you know, from the beginning? I think probably Parshas Bereishis. He said, because God was trying to teach you that before you could be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, you've got to be a mensch. Right? So That was the rabbis were referring to simply as a mensch, Hashem and Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. I think what I'm trying to, and then we can start moving down to Rabbi Lamb next week, is what I'm trying to get across is that I think it had to start from here to show that Torah was trying to create not simply a following of following the mitzvahs of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but to create a certain idea within us of an aspiration beyond Targag mitzvahs. That will come out in many different ways. Most notable that we talked about was the Halachta B'Drachav, which becomes one of the mitzvahs. But Halachta B'Drachav is to look at this beyond. The idea of what does man do to create, or what does the Jew do to create for himself to become the highest form of a tzidkus, of a tzaddik in this world. And you can't be bound by simple mitzvahs, do this, do that. It has to speak to you, to force you to act in a certain way, even though it's not written in the Torah. And I think today's society, especially in the frum world, needs to hear that point. When you see so much of Geneva, you'll ask someone. I mean, I've heard people saying this to me. I don't want to say from which community or what, because I'm not disparaging one particular community. But when a guy says, but how could you possibly go through all these programs? And mama steal for, and they'll say to you, state in posuk, that what? You're allowed to have Geneva Zakum. I mean, forget about the fact whether, and I remember Rabbi Kellum was speaking about it. Forget about the fact that what was said over there, and then Meiri wrote against any. No, he was showing halachically. Forget about that. There was a certain notion of right and wrong, which you miss out when you look at yourself something to say, where does it stay in the Shulchan Aruch? There's a fifth Shulchan Aruch out there. And that fifth Shulchan Aruch can only be gleaned from these notions that the beginning and the end is not found only in black and white. There's a certain sense of right and wrong that Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us. He gave us the blueprint, but he didn't stop at that. He said, go beyond it. Rav Herzog's answer was, I don't care that if you want to postulate the Rambam versus the Ravid, and whether the whole thing, who's a Ger Toshav, who's not a Ger Toshav, he said, I don't care, but he says, impossible for the Jewish people to come back to the land, and then for them to be the people to say, if the thousands of years of persecution, for us to get up and say, we are now going to persecute the Arab population, he said in the early, and this was early on, it's impossible for the Jewish people to be those people. When the Netziv is going to write by Milchama that if the rest of the world asser international, you know, say a war, we cannot be different than them. When Tosfos, why can't a Jew have abortion? Anybody know? Tosfos says it's impossible to conceive that abortion, which is asser for a guy, should be mutter for a Jew. It can't be that they're living in a higher plateau than us. What was Tosfos saying over there? Tosfos is saying, don't you realize who you are? You can't be living in a lesser level than them. And Tosfos is saying is, the Torah is giving you a guide also. It's not all written out for you. And then he goes, oh, you can't do this? So let me look over there. That's the concept, by the way, of Das Torah. The concept of Das Torah is that God gave you a blueprint for 99% of the way you should live your life. There's a sense, he said, you're going to have to come up with this. And that's what the pshat was for Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said. You have to figure out the Ratzon Hashem. Why do I have to figure out the Ratzon Hashem? He wrote everything down for me. He didn't. He didn't write everything down for you. He doesn't want to write everything down for you. It's not the way to live your life. There are going to be situations where we're not. Not that God didn't anticipate. He anticipated all of the aspects. He did anticipate it. But he wanted man to grow himself. You grow greater when you come up to a psak of Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog psak, I would say, is probably one of the most brilliant, most important psakim of all of the 20th century. And religious Zionists themselves have to start learning how to look at the Gedolim of yesteryear and how they showed us how to live in this world. It's not black and white. And if you're going to act a certain way, that's if you're going to act a certain way, I'm not talking about anti-Semitism, acting a certain way, you're acting neged halacha. You look at the world with the way the Rav used to speak, and he was bothered by certain things of how we acted. He only called up Menachem Begin one time, and he only told him, yelled at him on the phone, and that was the 1982, what was it? The
invasion of Lebanon?
No. Sabra Shekhila? It's the only time Rav ever got involved in politics.
The way he said.
He said to him, it's not the way a Jew
works. You know what? A lot of what we understand what's going on, sometimes it's going on, is not the reality of what happened.
I know. Menachem Begin, though, thank you.
You know, they said that there was...